Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bones. Happy Earth Day to all of you. Well, I want to begin by telling you what this sermon is not going to be about. It's not going to be about the way I saw this reading in my younger days, when I said, oh, I am supposed to be the hero of the story. I'm supposed to be the one who gives up my life for everyone else. I am the one who is supposed to be the focus. But now, as I read this reading, I think that God is supposed to be God. And though in living my faith, I need to find ways to act it out, I'm not supposed to be God. Also, this reading is not about me in my intimate relationship with God. It's not about Jesus being the one who will take care of me and leave all the other 99 who are not important to be just there for me, who is important. That's why I asked the choir this day to change the words to the song from "Shepherd me, O God," to "Shepherd us, O God," because we are in this together. So there is a time when grief is upon us, and we need comfort and intimate time with God to support us. But this isn't the focus of today's sermon. The focus of today's sermon is on widening our circle. It's time for us to get to know the other sheep. So come along with me as I share some stories of what I have learned from the other sheep that have crossed my path. Maybe these sheep can be spiritual windows through which we encounter the Holy One. So recently I was on a trip to Honduras, and I had a goal in mind to take some books that the people who were deprived of their freedom in prison asked for so that they could follow the daily readings of the church. So I got to the prison, and it was about 8:20 in the morning, and there was a long line of people waiting to go in. And I said, well, what time do visiting hours start? And the lady said, well, 8 o'clock. I said, well, it's 8:20. She said, well, then it will open ahorita. Ahorita is a Spanish word that means sometime around in the near future. It literally means right now, but it could mean any time in the future. Just like in Texas, I believe we have an expression that says the other day, which could mean any time in the past. So for an impatient North American that's not used to waiting, that was a challenge for me. So I have to confess, I pulled out my white nun privilege card. And I went up to the guard and said, I'm with the sisters and I have important books to give to the people, and I need to get in right away. So if I was truly reading today's gospel and living it, I might have said, I'll stay here in line and listen to the stories of the people that are here waiting. But that's a challenge for another day. So the rules in the prison have been changing dramatically. They're trying to follow the U.S. model. And so now they're trying to figure out a way to make everyone wear orange suits. And they're moving people from the cities to the rural areas so their families have a big expense to come and visit them. And they're making them pay for all sorts of background checks and everything in order to get in. So it's causing a big morale issue with the people in prison, especially because even the people from the parish that came to visit them before haven't been able to get those background checks, so they can't come. So they have less people to visit them. And they're stacked with 4 bunk beds high where they're sleeping. So I talked to Vicky when I got in, and she's told me that on Christmas Day, something special happened. They said usually at 5:30, they go on lockdown for the evening and they're locked into their sleeping area. But on Christmas, it was 6 o'clock and they still hadn't come yet. So she was like, what's going on? And the next thing you know, the sisters and the associates came to sing Christmas songs to them. Now, Vicky's not a churchgoer, but she said this really spoke to her, and it was a very special moment. When I talked to the sisters about their how was Christmas for them, the most special part of the day also was that encounter of Christmas music with the people who were deprived of their freedom. Now, another day we went back to the prison, and we had a celebration of the word, is what they call it. And Sister Pat was preaching, but she had a dialogue homily, and she asked people, who is Jesus for you? And I was touched by how many of them said, Jesus is the one who forgives our sins. And I don't always take time to be with Jesus in that way. I might have my grudges. I might have moments of anger or frustration or jealousy. And all of those things are things that I could go to Jesus for help with, but I don't always take the time. But I learned from these people who are being church for each other in that setting how to hold Jesus a little more closely, how to be sheep with the sheep. So I have this neighbor, and she has a relative that was going to get out of prison, and he had no place to go stay, and she decided she wanted to take him in, but she didn't want to do it by herself. She invited the whole neighborhood to get involved, and so she wrote us a letter and sent it out to everybody, and she said, I never want to be associated with the worst act I ever did in my life. She goes, I come from a family of second chances. And so I'm asking you to give this person a second chance. For me, she was really an example, and it was something that touched me deeply because I think sometimes holding a grudge for me might mean that I am holding somebody and saying the worst thing you did is something I'm never going to let go of. But she was challenging me to do that. And she was also challenging me not to hold on to the worst thing I ever did and to equate myself with that. So she was teaching me. Recently, I've been reading a book that's called Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson, who's a lawyer who works on death row. He says, you can't understand the important things in life from a distance. You have to get close. I think that's another way of saying you have to be with the other sheep. So he tells of meeting this woman who came to one of the trials where he was, and he sat down and had a long talk with her afterwards. And he asked her if she was related to someone there in the courtroom, and she said, no, sir, I'm not. So I'm going to tell her story and paraphrase it a little bit in the first person. I come here to help people. This is a place full of pain. My 16-year-old grandson, whom I loved more than life itself, was murdered. And I'm here to tell you today that I did not feel any better when they took the boys that murdered him and sentenced them to prison. But what did help me was a year later when I started coming here to this courtroom. And I said, I'm a stone catcher. There's a lot of people with a lot of pain and violence that are throwing stones. And some of those people didn't hear that reading from the gospel where Jesus says the one without stone sin should cast the first stone. There's a lot of people still casting stones in this world, and I'm here to catch them. She said, at first I just came for all the people that were suffering because they had a loved one who was a victim of crime. But then I learned that it was even more so the families of those that were accused and the people who were accused. They needed a stone catcher also. So I'm here for them to lean on me. This woman is teaching me what it means to be a sheep among the sheep. So the invitation of all these stories is to widen our circle. We need to find the stones that the builders rejected and find out how to make those a key part of the building. The invitation is to see the potential for something more in each person that we meet. The invitation is to find room close to our hearts for those who have been left out. Of course, I'm not suggesting that everyone here has to show up in Honduras, although you're invited. And I'm also not suggesting that everyone here is supposed to go work on death row. There's many other ways to know who the other sheep are. It could be a call to notice the person that puts the air in your tires, or the checker at the grocery store. It could be to be nice to the neighbor that always parks right behind my drive and makes it hard for me to get out of it. It could be to become closer to an estranged family member. Or it could be to notice the person sitting on the other side of church from you. All of these are opportunities to widen our circle. So I invite us to take a moment now and reflect on who God may be calling you to include in your circle. So let us know the sheep and hold them carefully close to our hearts. Let us know the stones that the builders rejected, knowing that they can become an important part of the building. Let us hold them close to our hearts. Like a shepherd, you feed the flock and gather the lambs in your arms, holding them carefully close to your heart, leading them home. Leading us home.